Hodorabo, Revised and Expanded Edition. The Life of Aleister Crowley. The Definitive Biography of the Founder of Modern Magic. By Richard Kaczynski. Narrated by Alan Irving. Published by North Atlantic Books. The photographs and illustrations can be found in the PDF that comes with this audiobook. Chapter 1. Birthday. Darkness swallowed the unfamiliar room as two men pulled a hood over his head. The floor was cold and hard beneath his knees, and through the door he could hear the muffled sounds of knocking and speaking. He counted 2, 3, 4 voices at least, followed by silence, a heavy stillness filled only by his breath. Aleister Crowley feared for his life. London's Euston Road was far from the safe, nurturing campus of Trinity College, farther from his Redhill, Surrey home, and farther still from the Swiss Alps, where training on the Schoenbuhl Glacier resulted in his fateful meeting with the man who sent him into this ordeal. For Crowley, the chain of events leading to this situation was every bit as real and confining as the rope now wound about his waist. The sensation of the tightening restraints stilled the images of his life and snapped him to the present. When tumblers fell and hinges creaked, excitement replaced his fear. It began.
"Child of Earth," commanded the man beside him, "arise and enter the path of darkness."
Blindfolded and bound, Crowley staggered awkwardly to his feet, advancing but a step before the sensation of a sharp rap striking the floor in front of his feet froze him in place. A voice from the doorway replied,
"Very honored Hierophant, is it your pleasure that the candidate be admitted?"
"It is," the Hierophant intoned solemnly from the room beyond.
"Fratres Stolistes and Dardukos, assist the Kerooks in the admission."
The one blocking the doorway, evidently the Kerooks, addressed Crowley in a loud, clear voice.
"Child of Earth, unpurified and unconsecrated, thou canst not enter our sacred hall."
A wet finger reached under the hoodwink and traced a cross on his forehead as a new voice declared,
"Child of Earth, I consecrate thee with water."
Next, smoky incense, sweet and thick, wafted over his masked face.
"Child of Earth," another announced, "I purify thee with fire."
Once the officers, Stolistes and Dardukos, finished these appointed tasks, an unknown hand pulled him forward and led him stumbling blindly through the room. Finally, he heard the voice of the Hierophant entreat him with grave authority.
"Child of Earth, why dost thou request admission to this order?"
Prompted by his guide, Crowley stammered,
"My soul is wandering in darkness, seeking for the light of occult knowledge."
"Thou wilt kneel on both knees. Give me your right hand, which I place on this sacred and sublime symbol."
The Child of Earth heard several others step close as the Hierophant guided his hand onto a wooden triangle on the table before him.
"Place thy left hand in mine. Bow thy head. Repeat thy full name at length, and say after me."
He swallowed dryly as the achievements of his short life, from publishing his first book of poetry to setting records for sea cliff and mountain climbing, paled in comparison to the weight of this moment. Crowley parted his lips and spoke.
"I, Aleister Crowley, in the presence of the Lord of the Universe and of this hall of neophytes of the Order of the Golden Dawn in the Outer, do of my own free will and accord hereby and hereon most solemnly pledge myself to keep secret this order, its name, the name of its members, and the proceedings which take place at its meetings, from all and every person in the whole world who is outside the pale of the order. I furthermore promise and swear that I will divulge nothing whatsoever concerning this order to the outside world, in case either of my resignation, demission, or expulsion therefrom, after the completion of my admission. I will not suffer myself to be hypnotized or mesmerized, nor will I place myself in such a passive state that any initiated person, power, or being may cause me to lose control of my thoughts, words, or actions. Neither will I use my occult powers for any evil purposes. These points I generally and severally, upon this sacred and sublime symbol, swear to observe without evasion, equivocation, or mental reservation of any kind whatsoever, under the no less penalty on the violation of any or either of them being expelled from this order as a wilfully perjured wretch, void of all moral worth, and unfit for the society of all right and true persons. Parched, he whispered the oath's solemn and stunning conclusion. And in addition, under the awful penalty of voluntarily submitting myself to a deadly and hostile current of will set in motion by the chiefs of the order, by which I should fall slain and paralyzed without visible weapon. A sharpened steel blade pressed against the nape of his neck as he spoke these words, then withdrew just as suddenly. So help me the Lord of the universe and my own higher soul.
The Hierophant commanded,
"Let the candidate rise."
He did.
"Child of Earth, long hast thou dwelt in darkness. Quit the night and seek the day."
Someone whisked the hoodwink from his head, and amid the images that burst onto his vision, he saw the scarlet-robed Hierophant. He was in his mid-40s, but clad in mystic robes and insignia. He might as well have been immortal. He fixed the young man with his eye, raised his staff above the candidate's head, and proclaimed,
"Frater Perdurabo, we receive thee into the Order of the Golden Dawn."
Perdurabo was the Latin motto Crowley had chosen to describe his spiritual aspirations in the Order. It was Latin for, "I shall endure to the end," from Mark 13:13. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Standing in this temple of the Order of the Golden Dawn, beaming with relief and joy, he knew he had discovered the secret sanctuary. On Friday, November 18, 1898, Aleister Crowley, mountaineer, poet, and seeker of the light, was reborn as Frater Perdurabo. 4 generations before Aleister Crowley was born, his great-great-grandfather, Thomas Crowley, circa 1713 to 1787, rebelled against his parents' religion, self-published his tracts and poetry, and sought to avert the American Revolution by pitching his political schemes to Benjamin Franklin. Thomas was a general merchant who lived in London with his wife and 7 children at 73 Gracechurch Street, with a country estate in Walworth. As a religious, controversialist, and political writer, Thomas Crowley penned over 30 books, booklets, and broadsheets, many criticizing his Quaker faith and its opposition to tithes and taxes. Works like Dissertations on the Pecuniary Testimonies of the People Called Quakers, relative their refusing to pay tithes and church rates, as also Fines or Assessments respecting the Militia or Military Service, circa 1773, and "To the Superstitious Priests, Lovers of Their Own Power, and to Their Silly Tools of Priestcraft, Quacks and Moneymongers, Among the Misled People Called Quakers," no date, did not endear him to church leadership. Indeed, Smith's bibliography of Quaker-authored works disclaimed that few, if any, of the publications of his friend were approved of, but rather disapproved of and testified against. In February of 1774, Thomas Crowley was disowned by the Devonshire House Monthly Meeting. That same month, his daughter Anne, 1757 to 1774, died shortly of her 17th birthday after a prolonged illness. Inspired by her
Sample complete. Ready to continue?